Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Has it stopped raining?
Were you in your car when that thing hit?
For the love of God in heaven.
That was a toad choker.
I was driving through it this morning at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I could
go under any overpasses?
Thank God.
When you say spotted the ocean, I was spotting the ocean every 15 feet on Ward Parkway.
Oh, my word.
Now, a tropical deluge.
We need it. We need it so bad. But I was on a highway when that thing hit. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we're supposed to get a little bit of rain. I'm like, do I need to pull over?
I could barely see maybe 30 feet in front of me.
Yeah, it was bad.
And it was bad.
I don't know why when people see a giant puddle, no matter the size of the vehicle, because the car that was in front of me was a Toyota 4Runner, should be able to handle it. Move to the middle of the road, people. Don't just drive straight through the puddle. I was literally blind for like 14 seconds driving down Ward Parkway getting into work.
You cannot get behind or beside a semi because they are all among the safest drivers out there, and I don't deny that. I'm not saying that.
But those are high-profile
vehicles. The spray that comes off that thing scares me to death. And so you get in that situation where you're like, all right, do I drive 40 miles an hour a safe distance behind him? Mm-hmm. Do I go around and punch it in pouring rain and try?
So I'm down at Creative Planning this morning. I am trying to figure out at what point in my life I can retire.
Oh, God.
What?
Are we talking in a week or?
No, we're not. No, we're not in a week.
Tomorrow's Friday.
But I will tell you this. I had a moment today that was rather sobering, literally and figuratively. I had to sign my own will.
Good.
No, not good. Good, but not good. When you're reading documents and there are pages and pages and pages of a will, and the first words are, upon Scott's death.
Yeah.
And you're reading literally documents that are going to dictate what happens to you when you're no longer here. It is a sobering moment.
Yeah. I'm proud
Do you have a will?
We do. I'm proud of you for getting that done.
You're taking control of your future.
You are taking control of your future.
And or whatever is left.
Glad that you did that.
What'd you say, Sam?
I said, or you're not future.
And then you have copies on file. Like, my mom and dad have done all of those things, and they say, look, this is the phone number you call. This is where the fireproof safe box is located. It's supposed to make it easier. I still think we make it way, way too complicated to die in this country.
Well, so I said to the lawyer, whose name is Scott, very nice guy, and graduated KU in 2008. I'm like, you're just a puppy. And so I said, when I die, you know, it's not if, it's when I die, you're telling me all my kids have to do is call this office.
Yeah.
And you guys will take care of everything. And he looks at me and goes,
yeah,
we'll take care of everything.
And we are not complicated people. You don't own property in Switzerland or, Bitcoin in faraway places I can't pronounce.
I did own Bitcoin until she took it from me.
You know, I think they can be very, very complicated. Those documents don't need to be. I've always wondered, during cable news breaks, it'll say, you need a will. Call 1-888. We'll write your will. And I'm like, yes. I mean, yes, but... Are we sure that that's the best way to go about it? Like, I want a real human being. I mean, you know, yeah. I go through UMB Private Wealth, shameless plug. I want like them to like call Patty. They know that. Call Patty and call Scott.
And so
By the way, you're on my list of people to call.
Thank you.
If I get hit by a bus, which I'm not going to do.
So I have a little packet down in the basement in the storage closet. And I called Sarah on my way home from signing my will. And I said, God forbid, I hydroplane today and die in a car wreck. Here's where all the paperwork is. Here's where the money is. Here's how we're going to divvy it up. And so I divvied it up 20% to T, 40% to Maya, 40% to Sarah.
Yeah.
And Sarah is the executor of my account. And then if I'm on life support, this will be troubling. The two of them, Maya and Sarah, have to agree to take me off life support.
I could be the tiebreaker.
That would be fine.
Here we go.
Let me let you know. If I'm on life support,
yeah.
Take me off.
Oh, I know. You've said this so many times on this program. Mm-hmm. So many times on this program.
I don't want to go out that way.
You know, every once in a while, they get one mixed up where there is an like rogue story in our stack where it's like, man wakes up at morgue.
No.
There is a story in the stack about that today.
No, there is not.
Is there really?
Is
there really?
Okay, can we just break that down? How does that happen? When EMS is called and then they call it and then you're in the ambulance and they're like, okay, there's no activity here. Then you go to the hospital. Does no one else double check someone's work?
The idea of medical death has been controversial for a very long time, and there's good reason for it, because we have decided in a split second this person is dead.
And well, if you're brain dead.
Well, we've seen many cases at the story in the stack. I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say that she was in a certain type of fabric with a zipper on top, ready to go to a place to be taken care of.
She was going to the morgue.
And sat up.
No kidding.
Wouldn't you, though, if that was you, as horrifying as that is, I do not wish that on anyone. However, if it happened, wouldn't you just love to freak the blank out of everyone in that moment and be like, excuse me?
Yeah.
You sit up. Hey, guys, what's going on?
Well, we've always heard the stories about like the speakers that people put in their coffins or in their caskets. I want to be one of those guys. It's like, hello? Somebody! Just a speaker coming out of my casket.
Or you're in your casket and you go,
I just feel like more than one people should like in tandem have to sign off on death.
What do you mean?
You know, you see that like in the movies, they go, I'm calling it 12-12. I'm calling it. Someone else needs to recall it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, be sure.
And there are checks and balances in place, but we don't know all of the intricate inner workings of the human body, right? We, from our knowledge, may be perceiving this person as dead. They don't have a heart rate, whatever. But this lady obviously met all of that criteria.
Wait, back up. You mean
a pulse.
Brain.
Well, if you don't have a heart, then you're a heartbeat, you're dead.
You don't think they didn't check this lady's pulse before they put her in a body bag?
I agree with you, Sam.
I'll tell you this. I was the one who had to make the decision about my dad. There was no double checking. Nobody looked at my brother and said, Beaver, do you agree?
Well, that's different when you're pulling somebody off life support, but the medical death controversy is when a doctor or EMS professional, somebody is declaring somebody dead based on X, Y, and Z circumstances. Lack of a pulse, brain activity, things like that.
Well, my dad had he was brain dead.
Right, exactly.
And there was no other choice.
A little more cut and dry.
But, you know, that sent me down a path of alcoholism because I felt like I had killed my dad. I literally felt like I had killed my dad.
Right, so it is even more important that you did this today because your wishes are now written down.
Yes.
Everyone has that. Your attorney has it. They have that directive. They know what to do. And then it takes the emotion. It doesn't take the emotion out of it. It inserts logic and law into an otherwise very emotional time.
What it does is it says, this is what I want.
This is what he wants.
And if I'm on life support, I'm out.
Cremated or buried?
Cremated.
Yeah. And you know what? Now that Maya's a pilot, she should just sprinkle you all over the world. I mean, that'd be kind of cool, right?
That is illegal.
Frowned upon.
Yet illegal.
Dropping something out of a plane over a populated area is a federal crime. whether it's dust or not.
It's not like you'd hit the ground.
Honey, do you have dandruff?
Don't ask for permission.
Honey, it looks like you have dandruff.
Dana, I'll
no, that's
say,
somebody else's body remains.
Without getting into too much detail, it's not just ash left in the bag. Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember the listener that called in last week and said... Maybe you were gone, Sam, when this happened. I don't know if it was a grievance, but he said, I have some experience with this. We went to launch Fred into the wind, and Fred ended up on my jacket. Fred ended up on the cars. Fred ended up in my hair.
So I want to be cremated, and I would like for my remains, you're my witness, to be left, if it's possible, on the beach in Cancun.
Okay.
That's what I would like.
I'll take you down there.
913-586.
Don't mind if I do.
Bye.
Let's get this on the road.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All right, listen carefully to this quote, and I'm going to say it twice before we get into our next topic because it fascinates me, okay? A wise person once said, comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy, anticipating one of the strongest findings in modern social science. Humans tend to care less about what they have and more about what they have relative to others. Okay? And we brought this up at the end of the program on
Tuesday,
I believe. This great article in the Washington Post, why smaller houses can actually lead to happier lives. It turns out asking, are you happy with your home, yields a very different answer, Scott, than are you happy with your life? Okay. And they talk about this couple that lived in New York City, and they end up saying that the best time they ever had with their friends, with their family, was in 1,000 square feet. And like most couples, I certainly did this. You know, you grow out of the one bathroom home in Prairie Village and you move up to the 4-bedroom that we turned into a 5-bedroom. And did it make us happier? Would it make you happier to have more room? The average newly built American home includes more than 940 square feet per person. The average newly built American home includes almost 1,000 square feet a person. Okay. That is up in 1973 from about 500 square feet a person. You know this. We have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, even though the average number of people living in each house statistically keeps getting smaller.
It's gone down.
We're at a record low right now. It's 2.5 people per home, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. So after meeting your basic need for shelter, what does square footage mean to you? And they have studied this, and the more floors you add over a certain point, the less satisfaction in life you report.
Then why do people like Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce or whoever lives at 5500 Ward Parkway, why do they need so much space?
So I don't love that example of the athlete because I think for a lot of athletes, security and protection and acreage is important.
Equates to space.
Joe Burrow. I mean, with keeping people out. Okay. But make it more about just the McMansion that is taupe in any given suburban neighborhood.
Then let's stay with 5500 Ward Parkway.
Well, that's different.
Why?
That's the most recognizable house in the city.
Why does someone need that much space?
Well, someone's got to live there. It's been there 100 and some years.
You're ignoring the question. If more space leads to less happiness,
yeah.
Less space leads to more happiness.
To a point.
Right. Why does someone need 5500 Ward Parkway?
I think they don't. I think, you know, again, that's an outlier of an example. Why does someone need the taupe mansion in Gray Oaks? Talk about the suburbs.
All right, fine. Let's talk about my house.
You were so happy in Roland Park at 1,000 square feet.
1,008 square feet.
Yep.
1,008 square feet. I could not have been happier. I was living the dream. I had a one-car garage, one bath, three bedrooms, a little loft on the second floor. I could not have been happier.
Economist?
Let me finish.
Yep.
And then someone wanted me to buy her a house in Gray Oaks, and yep. I did. And I'm not saying I don't love the house. I do. I love the house. I love the neighbors. But there is going to come a time in the not too distant future when I sell that behemoth of a house and I move back to Fairway.
Economists say when it comes to housing, Americans systematically overlook the actual costs, mortgages, commuting, maintenance, while dramatically undervaluing the intangible benefits that actually dictate our happiness, seeing our kids at night, hanging out with friends, knowing our neighbors, and being able to walk places. The article goes on to say, it's not that big houses make us unhappy, it's what we give up in pursuit of them. Hmm. That's why so many people are house rich and relationship poor, vaguely unsatisfied in their larger home.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. JJ in Overland Park. Hello.
Hey, you guys. Appreciate the story or article. My wife and I have a smaller home, maybe 1,800 square feet, built in 95. And we agree with the smaller home concept. We have 700 plus acres of land south in rural Douglas County with maybe 12 ponds and two lakes. We find happiness with that rather than a mansion with beautiful limestone rocks on a golf course somewhere. We don't have to worry about our kids getting hit by golf balls. And that's the lifestyle we chose. And we're sometimes feel like we could have had a smaller house.
JJ,
thank you for the call. Sounds like heaven. Now, there does come a point, and they looked in Asia, okay, where overcrowding is the worst kind of stress. Anxieties, you know, when you are, let's say you're in 300 square feet and there's six of you.
You're on top of each other.
Yeah, so there is a breaking point on either end.
Right. I would be more than happy, and again, we're not moving anytime soon because the house continues to appreciate. And so I'm going to sit on it until I don't think it's going to appreciate anymore. But at some point, and it's not that far away, where T and I are going to sell this house and we're going to make a ton of bank and I'm just going to pay for cash for a home in Roland Park. I want to go back to Roland Park. I want that small house. Dare I say... I would almost buy my
house.
Yes. Yes.
I think it almost depends more on lifestyle than anything because my house, I feel like it's too big. I tried to talk Mary Beth into buying a smaller one, but we fell in love with this one and this is what we got, right?
How many bedrooms?
Three bed, 1.5 bath.
Okay.
And so when it's just her and I walking around the house with the dog, I'm like, man, this is way too much house. We don't need a formal dining room. This is absolutely ridiculous. But then, you know, over the holidays, we had all of our friends over two or three different times, and we were like, we need a bigger house.
Well, but Sam, what you and Mary Beth have not factored in is you're both very young. And at some point, there are going to be little dum-dums running around that house. And that house is not going to feel that small anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, every time I walk into the guest room, like we have it fully furnished as a guest room. It's like, this is dumb. I don't need this.
The article gets into the formal dining room, Sam. Listen to this. Take features like home theaters, formal dining rooms, and game rooms, and all of the building we did post-World War II, right? Mm-hmm. These turn into expensive dead zones, pricey square footage that is rarely used. And when I look at the home that we raised the children in, and I'm not sorry that we did it. We had enough room, but if you really look at the amount of space that we used in that house, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, Scott, I never went upstairs. That basement.
Well, but the wait a minute.
Now they used.
That's not dead space because the kids lived upstairs. You lived on the first floor, but they all lived on the second floor. That's not dead space.
They did, but did we need all of the space the way those houses are constructed? The answer is no. The answer is no.
Well, I'll tell you this. In my home, we do have a formal dining room. Do you want to guess? I've been in that house for 5 years.
Yeah.
Would you care to guess how many times we've eaten in the dining room?
I would say zero if it was me. It would be zero.
No, it's higher than
on
that.
On Thanksgiving here and there?
Thanksgiving's at Mom's.
Christmas?
Mom's.
Right?
Four times.
Mm-hmm.
We've eaten in the dining room.
Now, we turned our old dining room into a closet. You can do things with that space that was supposed to be for the formal dining room with the china you do not own. But then you're spending more money to update the house. Whereas I think if we were just smarter about space, we would all be happier. Declutter. All that stuff.
Well, but for example, if I were to have you and Sam over for dinner, we would eat in the dining room. Now, granted, I had the two of you over a couple of years ago, and we did not eat in the dining room.
Honestly, I was going to say,
I don't know that we would.
Are we talking the little table like right by your back door? Is that your formal dining room?
No, that's the kitchen.
I haven't even seen the formal dining room.
Oh, come on. It's right by the front door.
It's the wasted room, Scott.
It is.
Everyone listening knows it. Or they turn it into an office. But you have an office.
I do.
Well, now you could have like four offices.
Listen, one study shows, this is fascinating because I love psychology. Many people say they want a bigger house. In absolute terms, they will say this.
I don't.
But people will still opt for a smaller home as long as it's bigger than their neighbors. It's the McMansion effect.
It's the keeping up with the Joneses.
Comparison is the thief of joy. And so I'm asking, like, even if you're in real estate, are we starting to see the McMansion now trend back down?
Please say yes.
Certainly for our age, Scott, if you want to look at a condo, those are even more expensive than the houses we bought, mm-hmm. but they're smaller and they're done smarter.
I can't wait to downsize.
I will say the homes aren't giant, but in terms of the, quote, McMansion tearing down the old airplane bungalows and taking up two lots in Waldo, that is happening all over Waldo. So if you see a house that's empty, you're like, wow, I bet somebody would want to buy that as a starter home. It's owned by a rich person who is just waiting out the other person so that they can buy both properties. And it's like a three-bed house that they're building. There's one right around the corner from us.
It's just brand new.
But it's brand spanking new.
But what is it with keeping up with the Joneses? I couldn't care less if my neighbor had a bigger house or a better house than me. What is it? I mean, there's a Waylon Jennings song, Luckenbach, Texas.
That we have four-car garage and we're still building on.
That's right.
Amen to that.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So I don't remember what my Leawood house was, Scott. Like, probably 4,800 square feet or something.
It's pretty big.
We had a bedroom and finished basement and all that.
Big house.
The forever home that we just purchased, my dream home.
Why is that your dream home?
Is 2,400 square feet. Because it's so stunning. It is so Dana. All my friends walked in, they go, oh my God, this is your house. And it's also so manageable. Hmm. I never felt like I could manage.
It has birds in the basement.
The other house. It was too much.
Hmm.
Too much. This, you can see it and get your arms around all of it. Like, I just love everything about it. Now, it would not have been practical raising four children. in that house.
It's only three bedrooms.
Right. So there's a time and a place, but also, God, you look back at the wasted space we had in that house. And we did some things to try to address it, but there was a lot of wasted space.
I'm going to disagree with you, because I've been in that house 1,000 times. Mm. There wasn't a lot. I mean,
we had a basement gym, Scott. And it's not that...
Well, that was unused.
It's not that... it was because we didn't make good use of the space. It's because the way those houses are built, you don't need all those rooms. You just really don't need all those rooms. Well, you think you do, and then you get in there, and after a couple of years, you're like, never been in the formal dining room.
So I have a basement that rarely gets used. There's a TV down there that's never been turned on. There's a ping pong table down there that we bought from the previous owner that hasn't been played on in... a year. There's a drum set that's been played on as recently as yesterday.
Yep.
And then there's a bedroom down there that Sarah uses as a storage facility.
Yeah.
And a bathroom that I use as a shower. A
lot of space.
It's dumb. I don't need it. It's not that I want out of Gray Oaks. It's that the day is coming when I'm going to get out of Gray Oaks. Because I need to downsize. I don't need to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
I just don't need it. Ben in Gladstone. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Yeah. Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing well. Good. Thanks.
Good. Hey, and Dana, the word you said was manageable, okay? 6 years ago, I moved out of a four-bedroom, I think it was 2,700 square feet in Gladstone. The kids moved out. The grandkids moved out. I go, like, I don't need this thing anymore. Had a formal dining room. I think we used it twice in 6 or 7 years. Found me a nice 1,500 square foot in Gladstone. It was built in 2011 by the Amish people. I've got a my basement holds all my movies and Halloween stuff. My living room is both my living room and my home theater room, and it's manageable. Yeah, I've got the master bedroom on one end and the two other bedrooms on the other end.
Shut the door and forget about it, right, Ben?
Yeah. It's like, you know, I can go in and clean that house 30 minutes or less. And I would never think about moving back to a bigger house.
Hmm. All right, man. Hey, appreciate the call. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. What is the purpose of a formal dining room, by the way? If nobody ever uses it. And again, I have a beautiful home. I love the dining room.
No one uses it.
No one uses it.
Most people turn it into an office or wall it off and make a closet, which is expensive. When my grandparents, the best memories of my childhood over Thanksgiving, Christmas, where everyone was in that very small ranch house, they had a regular kitchen table, Scott. They would bring in the folding card table.
Of course.
Remember with the plastic brown top?
Yes.
And then the kids would eat in another room on another folding table. And my best memories are in that house.
I like I said, I have a formal dining room. I've lived in that house for 5 years. I've used it 4 times. And let me say this. When we've used it, we have forced ourselves to use it almost to justify its own existence.
Is it 20 years old, your house?
My house is 16 years old.
16, okay. The houses new that they are building now, I almost guarantee you do not have that.
I bet you're lying.
Do not have the... No.
No way.
Because builders know, Scott, that people are going to end up walling this off and making it something else because no one ever goes in.
All right, let me do this because my realtor, Bridget, is texting me right now. Bridget, text me right now. Are new homes that are being built include a formal dining room?
I think they will because most new builds aren't the small houses. They're building behemoths.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you were close, Dana. You were in 4,100 square feet before.
Above grade. That doesn't count the basement.
That doesn't count the basement?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Was the basement finished when you bought the house?
Nope.
You finished the basement?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That house is so much bigger than the ones around them.
Well, again...
I've been clicking around on Zillow for the last 10 minutes.
What was the word about joy? You know, comparison is
The killer of joy.
Killer.
The thief of joy.
Of joy.
Thief of joy, yeah.
I'm going to write that down. That's very wise.
Well, it depends, wise. Because if you're comparing yourself to yesterday, then you're just getting better. But if you compare yourself to others,
you're never going to be happy.
From joy.
If you are comparing, really what they're saying is you can always find someone better off than you are.
Oh, every day.
Always, every day.
Especially with social media.
Oh my gosh. Right? Comparison is all right, the thief
so,
of joy.
So here's what I got from Bridget just now. Only on larger customs, but standard new homes, no.
Oh.
They are leaving the formal dining room out because they're so rarely used. That's from Bridget, my realtor.
Are they still doing the tandem master bedrooms? Because everybody's getting bed divorced?
Let me ask. Tandem?
That was a big trend a couple years ago.
Masters.
Yeah.
But every day I go home and, well, what do you want to make for dinner? We make dinner. Okay, Mary Beth, do you want to... I don't call her Mary Beth. Okay, honey, you want to eat in the dining room or watch something in the living room? Every single day. Yeah, let's watch something in the living room.
No, it's better, isn't it?
I'll be honest. We have a kitchen table. I cannot remember.
The last time you ate there?
Yeah. I mean, when we get home, you know, we do Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, I'm there.
And we sit in the living room. I sit on the love seat. She sits on the couch. And we literally sit there and eat dinner watching Wheel of Fortune.
I have a confession to make. We had to run an errand last night when I got home from work. And we taped Wheel of Fortune because I didn't want to miss it. We DVR'd it, Scott.
Yeah.
It's happening. Got the birds in my life.
Welcome.
I'm just mahjong away from being a truly old lady. Just right. One class away.
Ask away. Here is my realtor, Bridget Kiggins. Hello, Bridget.
Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Thank you for having me call in. Hi, Dana.
I knew those new builds did not include the formal dining room. It's the most gigantic waste of space ever.
Yeah, I've been selling new construction since 2017, along with my resale business, and it is rare to see a formal dining room anymore, unless it's a very large custom build.
Yes.
And even right now, I have a number of high-dollar new home listings. One is $3.2 million, 4,700 square feet, no formal dining room.
Yeah.
And then I have another one that's $1.3 million, it's 4,000 square feet, no formal dining room.
I always joke, Bridget, I'm not Meghan Markle. I don't own 25 sets of matching bowls and plates. Even if you have a formal dining room to fit eight or six or whatever, most of us are not enormous entertainers in that way.
That is correct with most people. Most people will admit when I go in to list a resale home, they will say, yeah, here's our formal dining room. We haven't used it in 5 years.
It's really clean.
They just aren't used.
But
so they're making better use of the space.
Bridget, obviously you've been in my home. It's a beautiful, It's a beautiful dining room. And yet in the 5 years since you sold me that house, I've used it four times.
I heard that four times. Oh, my goodness. And it is beautiful. You are correct.
And you know what, Bridget? Yeah. Thank you for the call. To each his own. There's
going
to be one or two people out there listening that are like, well, we use that formal dining room every day. And if you do, great. I think on the aggregate, that is not what you're going to find.
Bridget.
And sometimes I miss mine. I had Christmas at my house this year, and I miss it once a year. But other than that, I don't. It just never got used.
Bridget, is the dual master bedroom a new trend?
I just heard him mention that. I have not seen that. So, and I have five new construction listings right now and a number of other ones under construction. And I have not seen anybody do that.
Oh, good. I'm glad we got past that.
I hope that's not a thing. I think that's sad.
All right. Bridget Kiggins, always great to talk to you. And know that I'll be in touch with you shortly.
Yep. I'm ready when you are.
All right. Be well.
My.
All right.
What? She's a great realtor.
I love it.
I'm going to downsize. I don't need the house that I have.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Okay. I think you spend more time dusting the rooms that you don't use than you do hanging out in the rooms that you do use.
That is right. 913-586-7798, 586-7798.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Let's go to Michelle in Overland Park. Michelle, hello.
Hello. Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
We're doing well. Thanks for asking.
Well, I'm probably about similar age, and the house we're in, we built 28 years ago. And it's what we did was about 3 years ago, we remodeled the first floor. And we purposely took what was the formal dining room at that point and made it into, we use it as an office, but we built it so that it could be used as a lot of different things. Hmm. And we kind of call it the flex room. And we were thinking the flex room. Yeah. And I mean, we don't call it that. We call it the office now, but with the idea in a couple of years, probably we're going to sell that house. And we have those first two rooms in the house that used really probably were a formal dining room and a formal living room. And we use them as an office and my piano room, because I'm a musician. But I could see a younger couple coming in someday, and they might need it as a toy room, or they want a formal, dining room. And so we purposely planned ahead on that.
So you left it unaltered.
Well, we decorated it.
But what I mean is, when somebody else buys the home, they can turn it into a formal dining room if they want to.
Yeah, the only thing that we did, though, and I think it really improved the value, there was a doorway that went from the kitchen into that dining room. We closed that doorway off and then made a pantry in between the kitchen and the dining room.
Huh.
So you can't get right directly from the kitchen into that room, but I mean, it's a few steps more.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured the pantry was probably a much more usable thing than having that access. So that has, I think that has worked. And the only thing that's kind of held us back, though, is we have four kids. And now our family grew from 6 to 10. And we need the space when they all come home.
You have grandkids. And Michelle, that would be one of those cases where you need the big space to have everybody around.
Right. Right. And that's the one thing that we're trying to figure out for the future. How do we have that space still and feel comfortable when we have our whole family over, So I just thought, that's kind of the way I think some people our age are going towards, is having some of these flex rooms and then eventually going smaller.
Right on. All right. Hey, appreciate the call. Thank you for it. Jim in Shawnee. Hello, Jim.
Hi, that was quick.
I love what he's about to say. I love this.
I bought an old schoolhouse out by Lake Quivira and rehabbed it, and it's 4,000 square feet. My living room is, it used to be a thing. It was a church when I bought it, and they had bought it in 1953. It's a 1924 building. But the living room is 2,000 square feet with maple floors, and I couldn't be happier. It's just me and my wife. And, I sit in that and think, what a lucky man. Got it really cheap and rehabbed it, and can't have enough room.
Can you give me don't give me the address, but give me a ballpark on where you are.
Jim, I know exactly where you are. You know why? We looked and tried to get in or around Quivira, and it just didn't work out. You are a lucky man, my friend.
So you're Johnson Drive and roughly what?
No, I'm Holiday Drive.
Holiday Drive.
It's Holiday.
That's what goes in front of Lake Quivira.
Jim, I know. We spent months looking up and down Holiday Drive.
It's a cool building. It's built in 1920s. We have people. It looks like the Alamo. And I love every square inch of it.
Right on. Well, good for you, buddy.
Jim, I absolutely love it. Thanks for the call.
All right.
If you ever want to sell, call me.
Let's go to Hannah. No, wait.
Do you know?
You said you were in your dream home.
It is my dream home. If we could plop this home where we spend our time, first, we wouldn't be able to afford it. We sent letters to people up and down Holiday Drive. We knocked on doors.
Well, you know that's right next to the dump, right?
We knocked on doors. You know, wasn't meant to be, and we are where we are, and I'm happy.
Okay. Hannah, hello.
Hello. I was just going to point out some neighborhoods have HOAs and have restrictions onto what you can actually build on a lot. I live in an older, very established neighborhood. All the homes were built in like the 1950s, and there are no two-story homes in this neighborhood except for one that was built even before the 1950s, before the neighborhood became a neighborhood. That's just another kind of interesting point. And the finished basement, I've got to share one funny thing. I've got an 18-year-old son. We were going to finish the basement. We didn't really do it. We just put a wall up, and now he lives in a basement with concrete floors, and it's just the poor thing is he loves it, but it's not finished.
Yeah.
That was how my room was in high school, and I absolutely loved it. I commandeered half the basement. After about 6 months, I was like, Mom, can I put a wall across it? And I put a wall across it.
That's awesome. You built a wall, Sam?
Well, with help, but yeah.
Good for you.
Built a wall with what?
Drywall.
With 2x4s and sheetrock.
Yeah.
And screws and mud and paint.
And blood and sweat.
Yeah, there was some sweat. No blood, though. We were pretty good.
Good for you.
I used to live in an attic.
Put some doors on it. I put automatic closers on the doors because we had cats that I didn't want in my room.
You know, now everyone is very worried, and I get it, about things like radon. And, you know, I remember Joe saying at the time when Willem moved down to the basement, he was like, we need to do a radon test. And I looked it up, and if you had massive exposure every day for 25 years, I believe is what it was.
Okay.
Like, it would probably not be great for you to be living in that space. But, you know,
like you would start to develop a third eye.
Yeah, he was going to be down there a year and a half. And I'm like, you know, four nights a week. So everyone, you know, today it's let's check for the lead paint. Let's check for the radon. I get it. When we were growing up, to Sam's point, our parents just threw us wherever there was space. Like, does it have a fire exit? Nope. Did we have a fire ladder? Nope.
My favorite room was when we lived in Dusseldorf. I'm not kidding when I tell you I lived in an attic. The home that my dad rented had a finished attic. And you would be on the second floor, and there was a wood stair, like a wooden ladder that came down from the attic. And you would go up this ladder.
Okay.
And I had two rooms. I had a room to the right and a room to the left.
Okay.
And it was my favorite.
A ladder in between.
That came down into the hallway of the second floor.
That's pretty cool.
And so the room to my right was my study room.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do a lot of time in there.
I bet.
And the room to the left was where I slept. And if I could buy that house and live in that house again, I would do it. But the thing was there was only one bathroom on the second floor, and my parents and my brother split it. This was an old farmhouse. And so down in the basement, there was a walkway down into the basement from outside. This is where the farmer would come in.
Oh, yeah.
And he would shower in the basement. It was all concrete. It was unfinished.
Take off your work boots.
That's exactly right. That's where I showered. I had to walk three stories down to shower every morning.
Is that why you still shower in the basement?
Yes.
When we get back, I actually have a military-based question for you, Scott. Apparently, it is super frowned upon to take photographs outside of, like, white men.
Yes. Very frowned upon.
Oh, my.
Very frowned upon. Don't do it.
Don't take your cell phone.
913.
Put it down, people.
913-586-7798. The news with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in exactly 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.